but time is running out. I'm talking here and now. I'm talking here and now.
It's not about what you've done, it's about what you're doing. It's all about where you're going, no matter where you've been. Let's go, go, go.
So remind me next year if we do the Highland Springs Athlete game again next year to make sure I sign a contract to be a spokesperson for an oxygen company.
Let's go.
Holy cow, what a night. Hi friends, how are you?
Let's go.
I'm hanging. 102 points later. Wow, what a game of the week it was. And I know you look at the final score and you think, oh, 65-37, it was a blowout. It was a much more entertaining 65-37 than you would expect, and it had twists and turns unlike a few high school football games I've ever covered. On the air in the last 13 years and going back to my experience here in the Central Region, and that goes back into the 1970s. Yeah, I just admitted that publicly. It was a crazy night as number one bet number five on our game of the week, and we're going to cover that and everything that went on in week number 10 of high school football on this edition of Central Region Now. Rob Witham along with you. Thanks so much for joining us, downloading our podcast presentation of the RVA Sports Network. Another wild Friday night, and the playoff scenarios are now getting a little bit clearer, and some teams pretty much tonight punched their ticket into the postseason, and they can now begin to look ahead not only at knowing they've got a game next week in the regular season finale, but they'll have a game in 2 weeks as well. We've got upwards of probably a dozen teams in the area that pretty much are going to bed tonight knowing that they're in the postseason, and several of those knew coming into tonight, even though, you know, it didn't matter what they did in week number 10, that they were on their way to the postseason, one of them being the number one team in our NBC 12 WHAN Radio Top 10 poll, the Highland Springs Springers. When we last left them on the game of the week, 2 weeks ago after they defeated Lee Davis 34-19, we talked with Lauren Johnson, the head coach of the Springers, on the postgame show about the gauntlet that they had to run in the last 3 weeks of the season, and that included last Saturday's game at Henrico, which they gutted out in a defensive struggle 18-6. And that, to me, may be the most impressive Highland Springs victory of the year so far, because they showed that they can win in multiple ways, which is something we talked about with Coach Johnson tonight on our WHAN Radio postgame show, which was also heard live here on the RVA Sports Network. Championship teams have got to find a way to win football games in many different ways. They've got to be flexible and agile enough to adapt to whatever the situation is based on the opponent, based on the conditions, based on the development of how the game goes, and then be able to respond to it and find a way to win, whether it's in a track meet or whether it's in a defensive struggle. And in the last 6 days, Highland Springs has put up an 18-6 win at Henrico, which to beat the Warriors in that fashion, very impressive. To be able to get 18 points off Henrico, it's pretty doggone good, because few teams have been able to do that this season. And Henrico's defense is going to be fun to watch in that first round of the 5A South Central Subregion. Depending upon who's up there in the top four that gets Henrico in the first round, I know whatever head coach gets the draw and has Henrico come to him is going to go, oh, why did I have to draw the Warriors and their defense? Because they're gonna cause havoc. They're going to cause a struggle. Now, Henrico still makes too many mistakes on the offensive end and on special teams to where I'm not sure they can make a deep run in 5A South. But if they get into a game where they can play well offensively enough to where they can put their defense in charge with a chance to pull an upset in a 6-3 or a 7-2 matchup in 2 weeks, then that's a totally different story. But back to Highland Springs for a moment. They found their way to win that game 18-6 last Saturday. Now tonight they get Atlee, high-powered offense, number 5 team in our poll. Last year when they played at Atlee, Atlee won 49-42. We wondered if we'd see 91 points tonight. We saw 102 points combined tonight, including 14 in the last minute of the game. It was absolutely crazy. And that game in real time took over 3 hours. We were a 7:10 start. We were late starting because of senior night festivities. And we were not done with the game until, I think, after 10:15. And, of course, we didn't sign off the air until about 10:35 or 10:40 tonight, which is the latest we've ever signed off on a 7 o'clock start on the game of the week. But I know there were some very good performances across the Central region tonight. I know Logan Allen had another monster night for Powhatan as they go to 8-1. And really make a statement in 4A South that they're going to be a force to be reckoned with in playoff situations in 2 weeks. But I got to tell you, the performance I saw in the first half tonight by sophomore quarterback Jawan Carter of Highland Springs was among one of the best halves of football for an individual that I have ever witnessed, certainly in our 13 years of broadcast coverage and going back 35, 40 plus years. It was just scintillating. He ended up in the first half with 330 yards passing and 5 touchdowns. He ended the night with 428 yards and 6 touchdowns. It was an amazing night for him. And it was, as we expected, divvied all around. Greg Dortch got the first touchdown pass. KC Hinton got a touchdown pass. Kevon Wallace, welcome to the big show. 3 catches, 201 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Marcus Taylor got a touchdown pass. He got a touchdown run as well. Felton Davis got a touchdown, the Michigan State commit. But the thing about Carter, it's not the gaudy numbers. It's not the passes for the touchdowns. That's all very impressive. What I saw tonight out of Carter was the ability to drop the ball on a dime in the perfect position in several different formation situations across the middle, the slant pattern, the quick out, in several different ways. Carter found the man and found the perfect position to put the football to whether either his teammate's going to catch it or nobody's going to catch it. It would not be a situation to where the pass could be batted down or intercepted. I mean, just perfect. Stride for stride on one touchdown pass in particular. And it all started in the first drive of the game when they were facing a 3rd and long and he just floated one down the left sideline. And Davis caught it for 37 yards, and that set up the first score, the touchdown to Dortch. That ball was perfectly placed in a position to where Felton and Felton alone could get the football. And on, I think it was like a 3rd and 13 or 15, I mean, they were facing a quick out, and Atlee get the ball early in the game, trying to establish momentum, and boom, Carter took authority at that moment and really set the tone for the rest of the night. Even though Atlee, give them credit. Man, second quarter, they came back, scored 16 unanswered points, started with a safety, and then 2 touchdowns within 2 minutes, and suddenly 24-0 was 24-16. And we're like, we got a game here. But then Carter and company shut it down in the second quarter with 2 more touchdowns before halftime. The big one being the 38-yard pitch and catch from Carter to Marcus Taylor. The extra point was blocked. It made it 30-16. They scored again in the final minute on the pass that Davis caught for the touchdown from 14 yards out. So it was 37-16 at the half. Atlee came out sluggish in the second half. Couldn't get things going offensively. Made a quarterback change. Malik White provided a spark. They got as close as 52-30, and that was it. And then it was Lee Davis. Not Lee Davis. What am I thinking? Yeah, I'm thinking about next week's game of the week. That's what I'm thinking. Highland Springs, early in the fourth quarter, Carter was still in. They're still throwing the ball around. And I said on the game of the week, specifically on the broadcast, I said, this is not because Highland Springs is trying to run up anything by any stretch of the imagination. Coach Johnson, and I'm speaking of Lauren Johnson, realizes that Coach Johnson, and that's Roscoe Johnson's Atlee offense, can strike immediately. They scored 16 points in a minute 53 in the second quarter. It was a 22-point game. Highland Springs had the ball. They wanted to run clock and score more points because they felt like against Atlee, you probably might need those points. And so never at any time did I have a sense of that. But in the end, we had in the final minute a touchdown pass to Justin Hall for Atlee. They scored and cut it to 58-37. And then they tried the onside kick and Greg Dortch caught it on a dime at midfield and ran untouched to the end zone. And it was 65-37. I had my final score tweet all set and ready to go to hit send at 58-30. Little did I know that I was about to see 14 more points scored. And we ended up with 102 on the night. But congratulations to number one Highland Springs. If anyone doubted why they moved up to number one over Hermitage this past week in the NBC 12 WHAN Radio Top 10 poll, need I say anything more? What an impressive performance. Now, they did have penalty problems tonight. And that's something that the team is going to have to work on, because in the postseason, in a very close game, that can work against you. Can't lose your head. They had a couple of personal foul penalties in the fourth quarter that were completely mindless and needless, and they need to clean that up. Now, Highland Springs moves on to face, of course, the big rival, the arch rival, Verina, next week. It's at Verina, and as Coach Johnson mentioned on our postgame show, Highland Springs has not performed well in recent years at Verina, and they've got so much ahead of them. If they go to Verina next week and they win, they go 10-0, they will be the number one seed in 5A South, not just in the Central 8-team tournament, but in the entire 5A South region. And that means they would have home field advantage as long as they won through the state semifinals December the 5th, which means if Highland Springs finishes 10-0, and then they can win the four playoff games you need to make it to the state championship, their only trip on the bus would be to Charlottesville December 13th for the state title. Now, let's stop talking about Highland Springs, because there's other teams to talk about in 5A that are probably listening to the podcast right now and shouting, hey, Witham, what about us? Hello. And I have to admit, I just saw Highland Springs for myself, so that's why we led off with that. It was our game of the week and number five. 28-point win over number one with a 28-point win over number five is extremely impressive. But congratulations to Hermitage. Number two takes care of John Marshall tonight. No problem, 36-6. We expected that. They go to 9-0. Where Hermitage gets hurt is their strength of schedule in the Colonial District, which is why they're cutting out Thomas Jefferson, and they're, from what we understand, trying to get a home-and-home series in the regular season with Manchester. You got to play those teams and beat those teams to get those extra points that you need to get better positioning in the playoffs if you want to go 10-0 and be the number one seed. Highland Springs and Hermitage, they both go 10-0. Highland Springs gets the one seed because they have to run the Capital District gauntlet. They had to play the Armstrongs, the Henricos, the Hanovers, the Atleys, etc., etc. Whereas in the Colonial, who do you have? I mean, Freeman's pretty good. Godwin's okay. Patrick Henry's on a four-game winning streak, but against inferior talent. That's not to offend the Patriot crowd. I know you're happy about the four-game winning streak. You should be ecstatic about what's happened the last month there. But we have to put it all in perspective completely. And that's why Hermitage also fell in our top 10 poll from number one to number two this past week, because of the impressive nature of Highland Springs' win over Henrico. And now let's talk south of the river. Chesterfield, hello. You've got a huge game coming up next Friday in the regular season finale. I was talking to my buddy, former co-worker for many years, and we are friendly adversaries on the radio on Friday nights. Of course, Gary Hess, I'm speaking of course, the play-by-play voice of the game of the week over on Sports Radio 910. They had the same game we had tonight. We usually run into each other once or twice a year doing the same game. And Gary and his partner, Kerry Criswell, will be over at Manchester next week. They're doing LC Bird Manchester, and I wish them the best of luck. It's going to be a phenomenal way to wrap up their regular season coverage. We'll have the traditional Hanover rivalry between Lee Davis and Atlee. And that'll be interesting, because we're going to see how Atlee rebounds after this loss and how they can position themselves and get the momentum back going into the playoffs and not let what happened to them tonight hang over into the postseason. And that'll be our game of the week next Friday night on WHAN and live on the RVA Sports Network. But Manchester tonight, nice win. Very nice win over James River to go to 9-0. A lot of people thought this was a trap game, that they may overlook James River and end up in a situation to where they would end up tripping and being 8-1 going against LC Bird. It was bad enough for the Lancers that LC Bird, with the win over Cosby last week, got enough extra bonus points to take third place in 5A South Central in the VHSL playoff standings away from Manchester. Bird is now 3, Manchester is now 4. Well, Manchester tonight, with the win over a 5-win James River team, bonus points for beating a team of classification higher, I think they're going to get enough points. They're going to take third place back from Bird, even though Bird handled Clover Hill without a problem 54-3. You beat a 5-win team, a classification ahead of you, you get some extra points that you don't get if you beat a team in your classification that only has 2 wins. And so we'll know for sure late Monday morning when the new numbers come out, but I think they might flip-flop again, and it could be Manchester 3, LC Bird 4 going into their showdown at Manchester on Friday night. If the Manchester Lancers want to make a statement to not only the Central Region, but the Commonwealth of Virginia, that they are to be taken seriously in the 5A playoffs all the way to Charlottesville Saturday in December, they got to win at home against LC Bird. They must win this game. If they fall and they end up at 9-1 with LC Bird, Bird will end up ahead of them in terms of the playoff positioning, and people will say, well, Manchester's good, but they can't win the big one. And next week is the big one, and they've been riding this all year to get to a point to where they could be in this position to get Bird at their place in the final week and beat them to finish 10-0. And then Manchester, possibly with that win, could leap over Hermitage and get the number two seed. I don't think they could get enough points to overtake Highland Springs for number one. Highland Springs is going to be number one if they beat Verida. But Manchester would be a solid number two seed if they can beat LC Bird next week. But that's the big if they can beat Bird. Bird, two impressive performances the last 2 weeks. Jalen Elliott coming into his own now at quarterback. You know, I knew him from his days at Hanover, where last year at football he was kind of put in several different positions, and he's an incredibly athletic kid, very gifted, and a wonderful young man. I love Jalen to death. But I wondered how he would be able to stand up to the scrutiny and become the man to replace a guy with the likes of Terrence Irvin, who only went 29-0 in 2 years there and led him to two state championships. Remember, prior to 2012, Bird was in that same area with Hermitage and Highland Springs and others, great programs that had never won a state title. Bird was still looking for one. Well, now they've got two. And so I know the pressure's been mounting as the weeks have progressed, especially after the loss at against Lake Taylor in week number six of the season, their fifth game. But they handled that well. They've come back from it. They bounced back from it. They destroyed Cosby last week. They handled Clover Hill without a problem tonight, and they're going to be ready for the Lancers. That there is no doubt. And frankly, I would make the Skyhawks a slight favorite in that game. I think Manchester's going to give them everything they ever wanted and more. And Manchester's going to have the home field, and Lancer Nation, you better get out there and fill that stadium. And that student section better be the most raucous Manchester student section in the history of your high school. Because your team needs you next Friday night. Doesn't matter what the temperature is, what the weather is, they need your support. So be there for Daniel Rose and company. Coach Tom Hall will appreciate that. And then hopefully they'll reward you for your effort with a victory over LC Bird. Skyhawk Nation, you need to travel well to Manchester. Get on that visitor's sideline and root for your Skyhawks. Because a lot is on the line next Friday night. Playoff seeding, if you're home or you're on the road. There's still an outside chance that if the following things happen, this could be the case in 5A. And listen very carefully. If Verina beats Highland Springs, and that's not out of the question, I don't care that Verina's 4-5. It's a rivalry game unlike any other in the Central Region, with the possible exception of LC Bird Thomas Dale right now. And back in the past, Patrick Henry Lee Davis before Hanover got high schools other than them. You put Highland Springs and Verina together, it could be 9-0 versus 0-9, and it's going to be a scrap, it's going to be a dogfight, and it's going to be one of the most physical football games you're ever going to witness or be a part of. And Verina now is going to be fighting for their lives, and we'll be talking about that in just a second. You see Verina beat Highland Springs next week. Hermitage wins, finishes 10-0. Because they got Tucker. If they win, they go 10-0. LC Bird beats Manchester, which would be a big win over an 8-win team. That would be huge in bonus points. It is conceivable. It is conceivable, and I believe it's mathematically possible. And I'm going to try to figure this out for sure this weekend. If I can find time between the volleyball tournaments and competition cheer and everything else going on, it is a crazy time of year right now, my friends, as you know. But there is a possibility that if all the cards fall right, Bird wins, Hermitage wins or loses, and Highland Springs loses, Bird could be the number one seed in 5A South Central. Nobody outside of Chester wants to hear me say that, but it's a very good possibility, and those things all could happen next week. Verina could win at home because they're fighting for their lives. That would hang a loss on the Springers. Bird could beat Manchester. Somebody's got to beat Bird. Now it's Manchester's opportunity, but if they don't get it done, Skyhawks get major points and would probably leap over Hermitage. They'd be the one seed. And once again, everything would go through Chester, Virginia. And that's the scenario that none of the other seven teams in 5A South Central want to hear. So it's all on the line next week, but there's still so much to play for and no idea what the top eight's going to be. Now, next week at this time when we're talking on this podcast, we'll know the top eight seeds. We'll know the first round playoff matchups, and we can start talking about the brackets and all that good stuff. But for right now, until we know what happens with Verina Highland Springs and especially Manchester Bird next Friday night, everything is up in the air. And for a team like Atlee and a team like Henrico, it's huge for them to win their final games next week. Atlee can't take Lee Davis lightly. Henrico has got to take care of Armstrong, because what if LC Bird does fall? What if Atlee or Henrico could possibly step up enough and their 8-2 record might be able, with the tough Capital District schedule, to give them enough bonus points maybe to leap over Bird for fourth, and they'd end up having Bird in a 4-5 game, but Bird would be the visitors. How huge would that be? So for every team that we're talking about, there is monster monster implications to play for next week. And you'll excuse me for just a second. Had to get a sip of drink so I could keep the old motor going here as we continue on what will end up being an extended edition of Central Region Now, but I figured it would be here in the last couple of weeks of the regular season. All right, here's how we're going to roll tonight on our finals. We'll talk real quick about our NBC 12 WHAN radio top 10. Again, number one, Highland Springs, 65. Number five, Atlee, 37. Highland Springs, 9-0. Atlee, 7-2. Hermitage wins 36-6 over John Marshall. Panthers are 9-0. Manchester, 41-13 over James River. Manchester is 9-0. James River is 5-4. And they've got issues in 6A along with Verina. We'll talk about it. LC Bird, number four, they beat Clover Hill. Final there was 54-3. Congratulations to Thomas Dale. Big win tonight. They go down to Dinwiddie to face the Generals, who'd won seven in a row, hadn't lost since opening night, August 29th, against Monacan. And they hang a 20-13 win on the Generals. It was a comeback victory. It was without Darvin Taylor, their great defensive lineman, committed to Florida State. He was out with an injury. Knights get their seventh straight win. Now, Colonial Forge won tonight in 6A South as well, so Thomas Dale won't be able to overtake them for number two in the bracket, but they will still be a solid number three with one game remaining. Number eight, Benedictine, plays Saturday afternoon. Number nine, Monacan, 29-0 winners over Midlothian. The Trojan season ends at 2-8. They do not play again. Their 10 games are done. They started early and did not have a bye week. Monacan at 7-2. Really solidifying that number four seed in 4A South. Monacan looking good at 7-2. And number 10, Hanover, with a very impressive win at Verina. 24-19 the final. And the Hawks go to 6-3, and that puts Verina at 4-5. Now that we've talked top 10, let me talk about playoff seedings and the regions, beginning with 6A. 6A South coming into tonight, Thomas Dale was seeded number three. They were a quarter point behind Colonial Forge. Thomas Dale got a win tonight, but Colonial Forge beat Stafford 45-7, so Colonial Forge will stay ahead of Thomas Dale in that race. Now, Thomas Dale may be able to cut into that quarter point lead because they beat a team in Dinwiddie that had seven wins, so that's going to help them. But by the same token, you know, Colonial Forge is going to get their bonus points for their win against Stafford, too. So it likely will be Thomas Dale in number three, and still with a chance to maybe get to that number two seed. In the end, it looks like they're going to end up facing a quality team from here in the area. But what team that is, because here's the deal. Cosby wins tonight, the number six seed in 6A South. They took care of George Wythe without a problem. We knew that was coming. And so they'll stay at six. Verina lost tonight, as you know, and we mentioned a moment ago. James River lost tonight, as we mentioned a moment ago. The number nine seed just out of the playoffs in 6A South, River Bend, they defeated Mountain View tonight 35-21. So River Bend will pick up bonus points that James River and Verina both don't have. And there's only a half a point between River Bend at 9 and Verina at 7. 75 one-hundredths of a point for River Bend, 26 and a quarter points for Verina. James River in between at 26 and an eighth. And so it's very possible going into next week, River Bend could jump up two spots to the number seven seed. That would drop Verina down to an eight. James River might be able to hang on to the eighth seed and actually force Verina to the nine, since they lost tonight to a nine-win team and Verina lost to a six-win team. It'll all have to come out in the wash when we get the numbers out of Charlottesville on Monday morning. But it's very likely that either Verina or James River, in the playoff picture going into tonight, will be in that number nine hole and out of the playoff picture, looking in with 1 week to go. That's why Verina's game with Highland Springs next week is so huge. Verina's playing for their playoff lives. If they lose next week and finish 4-6, there is a very good chance that they will miss the playoffs entirely. But if they beat a 9-win Highland Springs team, that gives them lots of extra bonus points, and that would put them in a great position versus a James River, versus a River Bend, and it's going to be razor-thin close between those three teams. Cosby a point ahead of all of them, and they have a little bit of margin of room for error. Looks like the Titans are probably going to be okay. They got to worry about Monacan and nothing else at this particular point. But for Verina and James River next week, it's simple. It's do or die. It is absolutely do or die. Now, James River plays George Wythe next week. Winless team. James River will win that game. I can just go ahead and just say that now. But the problem with that is they'll get the points for winning. You get 26 points for winning if you're a 6A team. But you don't get any of those bonus points. Two points for every win that your defeated opponent has. Well, George Wythe hasn't defeated anybody, so there will be no bonus points there to ride on. That's it in the negative column for James River. Whereas Verina, if they can beat a 9-win Highland Springs team, they get all the bonus points in the world. It'll feel like a Christmas day for them. So James River a little bit more behind the eight ball, even if they win. Right now, what James River wants is they want Riverbend to lose. They want to get the win. They want Verina to get beat by Highland Springs, and that will seal the deal, and the Rapids would make the postseason. And then how it comes down in terms of brackets, we'll just have to wait and see. But right now, if things hold to form, it would not surprise me to see a Cosby-Thomas Dale rematch from opening night back in late August, only the first-round game would be at Thomas Dale and not at Cosby. That's 6A. Now, let's talk 5A. Number one is Highland Springs. They're going to stay that way. They were a quarter point ahead of Hermitage. They're going to expand that lead after beating a 7-win Atlee team tonight, Hermitage beating a 1-win John Marshall team. And so, again, the strength of schedule in the Capital District plays in the Springers' favor. L.C. Bird with the win tonight over Clover Hill, a 2-win team in their classification. Manchester with a win tonight over a 6A team with 5 wins, so some bonus points there. Manchester was at 30 points, L.C. Bird at 30.325 coming into tonight. Bird had overtaken Manchester for third place. Manchester may flip-flop with them again, and it could be Manchester 3, Bird 4 going into their showdown next Friday night. In the end, even if they don't overtake them for third, the bottom line is this. They'll overtake them if they beat them. Simple as that. Just doesn't get any, you know, more down-to-earth than that, quite frankly. Atlee, they will fall in terms of points. They will probably remain at number 5, though, because they were 3 full points ahead of both Henrico and Douglas Freeman. Henrico beats Glen Allen tonight handily, 49-11, and that's a nice win, but they're only going to get 2 bonus points because Glen Allen only has 1 win on the season. Douglas Freeman plays Thomas Jefferson Saturday 1 p.m. Rebels get that win. They would also go to 7-2 with Henrico and with Atlee, but they'd also only pick up a few extra bonus points because TJ only has 2 victories. So, Atlee fans, I feel confident you're going to still be number 5 when the new numbers come out on Monday. But the margin for error is going to be less. It's not going to be 3 points anymore. And you'll need to get out there at home on Friday night, get the job done against your rival Lee Davis, and get it over with so you clinch no worse than a number 5 seed in the 5A South Central subregion. Mills Godwin gets a win tonight. Metoica, unbelievable, 73-13 wallop of Hopewell tonight. Warriors, congratulations on that game. Unbelievable, indeed. But both of them over 3 points behind Meadowbrook going into tonight's action for that 8th and final playoff spot. Meadowbrook beats Petersburg 27-6, and Meadowbrook draws one huge step closer to clinching that 8th and final playoff berth. We'll have to run the numbers over the weekend. They may have already done so, but Meadowbrook still has to play Dinwiddie next week, and so we'll kind of run things and see if we can get that figured out. 5A North, Patrick Henry fans, let's talk to you for just a moment. You started the night tied for 10th with Mountain View. Patrick Henry beat Deep Run to go to 5-4. Now, Deep Run being 0-9 doesn't help you. You don't get bonus points, but you get the 24 points for winning. And that's big because Mountain View lost, as we mentioned earlier, to River Bend, 35-21. So that 10th place tie is done. You're going to be ahead of Mountain View. Now, the teams around you. Halifax County won tonight. Brook Point, who's also in the tie for 12th, half a point behind Patrick Henry and Mountain View going into tonight's game, their game was a forfeit against North Stafford. North Stafford was the 9 seed and just ahead of Patrick Henry coming into this week. And apparently due to an incident involving members of the Brook Point team, Brook Point last night, the news broke online on Twitter and our friends at FLS Varsity up in Fredericksburg. Brook Point forfeited the game. And so it goes into the record books as a 2-0 forfeit win for North Stafford. That makes their record 5-5. Their regular season's done. That will help them boost their points and keep them ahead of Patrick Henry. And so PH's hopes of maybe getting to the 8-9 game or maybe even getting to number 8 and getting a home game pretty much dashed at this particular point because of that. But still, Patrick Henry can get in a very favorable situation. If they beat Douglas Freeman next week, it's possible they might be able to overcome the deficit of North Stafford and get in the 8-9 game. That's a pretty tall order to beat a Douglas Freeman team that's fighting for good positioning in 5A South. The Patriots have won four in a row, and they got, you know, everything to play for and no reason why not just to go out and give it all they've got. So PH, 5-4. Effectively, I cannot tell you officially they've clinched a playoff berth, but I can tell you that it's about as a sure thing can be, with a few of the teams below them losing tonight. A couple of teams, though, outside looking in, one, including Thomas Edison of Alexandria and Robert E. Lee of Stanton. And so I can't say with authority that it's completely over yet, but it's looking really good for Patrick Henry for their first playoff game in 7 years, 2007, the last time Patrick Henry was in the postseason. 4A South. Monacan, all of a sudden, they get the win over Midlothian tonight. It's not going to be a lot of bonus points there, but here's the news. Phoebus, the number 3 seed, just ahead of Monacan by almost a point. Phoebus was at 28, Monacan was at 27.125. Phoebus lost tonight to Kecoughtan, 26-16. And with that loss and Monacan's win, it'll be very interesting to see how much closer they draw to each other and if there's a possibility that Monacan could actually get into the number 3 seed in 4A South, ahead of their showdown with Cosby next Friday in the finale. Norcom, Kings Fork make up 5-6. 7 was Powhatan. Big win tonight for them. They get a win over 7-1 Western Albemarle. 7-1 teams fighting it out there. Powhatan wins. They go to 8-1. And so Powhatan's going to jump. Hanover with a win over Verina, they're going to jump. Dinwiddie falling to Thomas Dale, they're not going to jump. And it looks more and more like Dinwiddie is going to have to defend their 4A state championship, beginning with a road game in round one. Tucker losing to Godwin tonight pretty much shut the door on any playoff hopes the Tigers have. And so the Tigers join both Midlothian and Glen Allen as 4A teams here in the area that will not make the playoffs this year. 3A East, Hopewell. Tied for fifth going into tonight, and then they lose by 60 points to Motueka. I don't know what happened, but the Blue Devils, talk about, you know, very short memories. They're just going to have to completely forget tonight ever existed and look ahead to their regular season finale next week, the usual rivalry game with Prince George, and just do their best to move forward and forget this ever happened so that they can be in a position to where they don't have the hangover I talked about with Atlee earlier. Because Hopewell will be in the playoffs in 3A East, there's no doubt. The question will be, where will they be? And will they have a home game? And they can't afford to trip up again. Armstrong with that one-point win over Lee Davis, 22-21, heartbreak for the Confederates. They scored. They missed the extra point. Then they get the ball back. They're in the red zone with under a minute and a half to go, and they can't score points. Armstrong survives 22-21. Armstrong, number 8 seed, going into this week in 3A East, and they will likely stay that way. I don't see much of a change coming for them. So that's what we're looking at in area teams. And oh, by the way, in 3A East, I did neglect to mention Colonial Heights with their 7th straight loss tonight. Brentville District, let me do a little quick check here and see if Brentsville won. I do not see them as winning tonight. So that's good news, very good news for Colonial Heights, because the Brentsville District, the team in number 17 position in 3A East, had a one. Colonial Heights could be, you know, looking at a situation to where they could drop out in the final week or 2 weeks of the playoffs. Petersburg, they lost to Meadowbrook tonight, but they're 2.5 points higher than Colonial Heights in 12th place. They're seating a little bit more secure than Colonial Heights is. So, again, to kind of wrap up the scores and add a few others that we didn't talk about tonight, Prince George, good win over Colonial Heights, 36-16. They're losing streak over. We mentioned number 9, Monacan over Midlothian, 29-0. Patrick Henry, we mentioned, it was 42-27 over Deep Run. So the Patriots now 5-4, Deep Run at 0-9. Number 6, Thomas Dale again over number 7, Dinwiddie, 20-13. Our game of the week, number 1, Highland Springs over number 5, Atlee, 65-37. Number 3, Manchester, 9-0, 41-13 winners over James River. Number 10, Hanover, 24-19 winners at Verina. Cosby ends their 3-game skid, 62-0 winners over George With. Armstrong ends their 3-game skid, 22-21 winners over Lee Davis. Mills Godwin to 5-4. They beat J.R. Tucker 23-12. Henrico to 7-2, 49-11 winners over Glen Allen. Powhatan in that 7-1 showdown with Western Albemarle. They win going away. 53-16 was the final. Number 2, Hermitage, 36, John Marshall, 6. Amelia beats Bluestone, 51-7. Goochland over Prince Edward, 58-28. And a couple of big games tomorrow in the VHSL. Douglas Freeman at Thomas Jefferson at 1. And then in private schools, Blessed Sacrament, Huguenot, Trinity Episcopal. Let me check on something real quick. That is a 1 p.m. kickoff tomorrow. Number 8, Benedictine, is a 1 p.m. kickoff on Saturday against Liberty Christian. Benedictine has the number 1 seed in BISAA Division 1. So they can't change. Even if they lose on Saturday, they'll still be the number 1 seed going into the playoffs next week. Liberty Christian needs to win that game to clinch a playoff berth. Collegiate, the game against St. Christopher's, Saturday, 1:30 p.m. It's very simple. If the Cougars win, they're in the playoffs. If the Cougars lose, they're likely out of the playoffs. St. Christopher's, with a win, needs a couple of other things to happen, including a Benedictine win over Liberty Christian Academy in order to slide in there in the 4 seed. But it's all in the hands of Collegiate. If the Cougars can win there at Grover Jones Field tomorrow in the 53rd edition of the game between the Saints and Cougars, Collegiate makes the postseason. That game is at 1:30 tomorrow, or I should say Saturday afternoon. It will be rebroadcast on a special delayed basis Sunday at 1 p.m. on WHAN 102.9 FM and 1430 AM. Of course, WHAN has Randolph-Macon football Saturday afternoon when they are at Shenandoah. That broadcast at 12:30. So that precludes us from having the Collegiate St. Christopher game live on the air, but we will have a delayed edition of the broadcast on Sunday, 1 o'clock, on 102.9 FM. And shortly before we close tonight, lest we forget these things, a couple of things to mention. Number one, good luck to all the volleyball teams starting in the conference tournaments on Saturday. Conference 11 getting started. Conference 20 is getting started. Then conferences 3 and 12 and 16 will get rolling on Monday. Lots of volleyball action happening on Saturday, though. Good luck to all the teams. We're going to try to make it out to a couple of matches. And the ones that we do, we will tweet out information for you. Of course, follow us on Twitter, at Hanover Sports, at Henrico Sports, at Chesterfield Sports. And don't forget, RVA Sports Network is now on Twitter. We give you coverage of City of Richmond teams, all the other things going on in sports in the Richmond area, not just high school events, college, et cetera, et cetera. And, of course, our broadcast information, new games that are signed, broadcast links, listen live links, things like that. Follow us at the RBA Sportsnet. That's at the RBA Sportsnet. It's also where we release our top 10 polls, and our first boys and girls basketball top 10 polls will be coming up about 3.5 weeks from now. So good luck to the volleyball players and the teams here coming up. Good luck to field hockey and the regionals next week. Cosby in 6A, Thomas Dale in 6A. Atlee, Henrico, Manchester, and Matoaka over in 5A, and Midlothian, Maggie Walker in 4A. Got some teams that could do some serious damage in field hockey. We wish them all the best, and we'll keep you posted on how they do on Twitter next week as well. Next week, football, final week of the regular season. Our game of the week is, of course, Lee Davis Atlee at Atlee, 6:30 on WHAN, and live on the RVA Sports Network online. The big game, number 3 Manchester hosting number 4 LC Bird. And the big rivalry matchup, number 1 Highland Springs at 9-0 against a 4-5 Verina team that has to win if they want to make the playoffs. Matoaka, coming off the 60-point win over Hopewell tonight, now goes to Thomas Dale. Could they hang a big upset of Thomas Dale and send them reeling into the 6A playoffs? Patrick Henry's at Douglas Freeman, as we mentioned earlier. Dinwiddie is at Meadowbrook. We mentioned that as well. John Marshall at Deep Run, Wildcats' last chance to get a win. TJ goes to Godwin next week. It's the Cat Bowl as Hermitage goes to Tucker. Glenn Allen is at Hanover as the Hawks look to finish 7-3 and get in on a 4-game winning streak into the postseason. Huguenot is at Clover Hill. Huguenot fighting to stay in the bottom of the 3A East playoff race. Monacan at Cosby, Prince George Hopewell, Colonial Heights Petersburg, George Wythe and James River, Powhatan home to Charlottesville. And one quick note that you need to know, the Armstrong-Henrico game has been moved. It was supposed to be next Friday night. It has been moved to a 2 p.m. Saturday game. It'll be at City Stadium next Saturday. Henrico-Armstrong, 2 p.m. kick next Saturday at City Stadium. All right, my friends, there you go. Another edition of Central Region Live in the books. Thanks so much for being with us. Rob Witham saying, have a wonderful weekend. Be safe. Happy month of November. That's right, I said November. Can you believe that? And our next Central Region Now podcast coming up Wednesday night. We'll talk to you then. Let's go. And, of course, we'll talk to you on Twitter 24/7. I'm talking here and now. I'm talking here and now. Let's go. as Central Region Now is an exclusive presentation of the RBA Sports Network, a division of HCS Media, LLC. Copyright 2014, all rights reserved.